I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Please let me go back. I don't want. sun, the moon, and the stars. God is so great, yet he seems so far. When I talk to him, it seems that he doesn't even hear. How can I love God who I cannot see? But this is my dream, the goal of my life. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deeply. God, show me how to love you more. I don't want to say commandments. Lord, I have meditated on your word so I can love you more. Lord, please help me to keep your commandments. What have you told me that I'm not doing? Where have you sent me that I'm not going? Am I holding back? I want to sacrifice. As hard as I can, so I can love you more. Lord, please help me to keep your commandments. What have you told me that I'm not doing? Where have you sent me that I'm not going? Am I holding back? I want to sacrifice all for you.
Are you ready for what's coming next? I didn't hear you. I said, are you ready for what's coming next? Why don't we all rise to our feet and with a half clap to Jesus and a shouting ovation, let's welcome Apostle Joel.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Come on. Your heart, oh, I'm chasing you with all my life, captivated, just can't get enough. Your heart, oh. I'm chasing you, come on. I'm chasing you, I'm so in love, captivated, just can't get enough. I'll spend my days running after your heart.
Oh,
with all my life, captivated, I just can't get enough. I'll spend my days running after your heart. Whoa. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen, amen, amen. Are you glad? What a blessing it is, amen, to have a church that has nations, not only nations as members, but a heart also for the nations. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thank God for our pastor, our founder, and our bishop, who has a heart for the nations. Amen. And thank God for what he's doing. As we speak this morning, they're over in Zambia. And they're getting ready to have the last series of crusades in the coming week.
Wow.
And before we sit down today, I want us to pray for them. Amen.
Amen.
I want us to pray for the nation of Zambia.
Yeah.
I believe that God is visiting them.
Amen.
Amen. See, only very narrow-minded people think only about their countries. But anybody who is enlightened a bit will start to see that there are more people in the world than you.
Amen.
Amen. And it is godlike and godly to be interested in the other nations as well. And so we want to pray for Zambia, the nation of Zambia, because that's where God has opened the door for us today.
Amen.
To be working. Amen. We want to pray that God will visit them. God will back the message with signs and wonders. That there will be many, 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 many salvations.
Amen.
That the churches in the country will be encouraged.
Right.
You see, the crusade is there and they will be out next week. But there are pastors, Zambian natives, Zambian pastors who will remain over there. And we want to pray that God will encourage them and strengthen them and bless them and anoint them and make them fruitful after these crusades. Amen. So join hands with one person and let us pray for the nation of Zambia. Can you put up one of those pictures from Zambia and let us just pray for them in the name of Jesus? Everybody close your eyes and just lift up the nation of Zambia and the cities where the crusades are visiting. Let us pray that God will bless those crusades, that the word of God will be established, that the word of God will increase mightily, the word of God will increase mightily, that the word of God will be established, that the word of God will be preached, that many, many, many souls, oh God, that many, 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 many souls, many families, many people will be reached and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for healing. Healing, oh God. We pray for healing. We pray for a baptism of righteousness, oh God. That people's hearts will be turned towards God. We pray, oh God, for a revival in the nation of Zambia. We pray, oh God, for a mighty visitation. This is their season. This is their time. This is their opportunity, oh God. May they most make the most of it, oh God. We pray for the pastors in Zambia. We pray for the churches of God in Zambia. We pray for anyone who is doing any work for God in the nation of Zambia. Missionaries, natives, oh God. People who come from Zambia, the churches in Zambia. Bless them. Let them flourish, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Multiply their effectiveness. Give them a heart. Give them a burden, oh God, for souls. Give them a burden. Give them a real burden for souls, for souls, for souls, oh God. In the name of Jesus, let Zambia be washed by the blood. Let Zambia be washed by the blood. Let Zambia be washed by the blood. In the name of Jesus, let Zambia be washed, oh God. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Makabolo shatalamamaha. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Show mercy to the nation of Zambia, oh God. Show mercy to the nation of Zambia at this time. Let these crusades yield many, many, many fruits of righteousness. Let it birth a new zeal in the pastors. Let it bring encouragement to the Christians in Zambia. Let them know and see what is possible. Let it lead to more church planting, more church planting, more church establishment in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. 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 Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for the nation of Zambia. And thank you especially for the opportunity to preach in Zambia. Thank you for opening doors for Bishop and the crusade team to be out there pouring forth the word of God, teaching pastors, sowing the seeds of the word of salvation in that nation. We pray that you will bless those seeds. Let them not fall by the wayside. Let them not fall among thorns. Let not the birds of the air come and eat those seeds. But rather, Lord, let those seeds bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Let it birth salvation. Let there be many, many, many salvations, O God. True conversions, O God, in the nation of Zambia. This is their season. This is their revival. I pray that the revival that has started there will continue. I pray for strengthening of the pastors. I pray for encouragement for the Christians in Zambia. That, Lord, you will strengthen them, Lord. That after these crusades, they will rise up with strength and with courage to reach their nation for God in the name of Jesus. Let churches be planted. Let pastors and missionaries be sent out in the name of Jesus. Let there be new churches, new churches, new churches. Let people rise up with new zeal and new energy, renewed strength, oh God, to work and accomplish great things for you in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that the fruit of the crusade will last a long time, that Zambia will never be the same again. The nation of Zambia will never again be the same, because you love Zambia, oh God, and that is why you have sent us there at this time. We thank you for Bishop and his team. And we pray, Lord, for your covering over them. We pray for your protection, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that in the coming week, you will restore their strength, Restore their energy, O God. Strengthen them, O God, to finish strong in the name of Jesus. We pray for the remaining crusades that you will show up yourself. Let them be the greatest days. Let the power of God be manifest in the greatest ways, O God. And let everyone who comes to the crusade who is not saved, let them experience salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Change the nation of Zambia, O God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody will say, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Right. Do you have that little video clip? Right? Just show. This is from last night. Okay. From yesterday's crusade. They're in a city called Kitwe. And this picture is from the Kitwe crusade. But it's a small video clip I'd like you to see. And that's recorded from last night. Many, many mighty miracles taking place in Zambia. And in Kitwe in particular, the woman was testifying how that her son died, and somehow she brought a photograph of the son to the crusade, you know, and she was prayed for, and that boy rose up from the dead. Wow. Hallelujah. And that is a very powerful manifestation of the power of God in that country and in that city. Amen. Just watch this. It's about a minute long before I start sharing with you. So just show that to us, right? Clap your hands properly for them. Amen. It's a real mighty work. Amen. Right. Now, let's get into the Word of God. Today, I have a very short message to share with you. Amen. On International Sunday, and I want to share with you about why you must not discriminate against people. Amen. Hallelujah. Why you must not look down on people because they come from a different country. Amen. Now, many of us, Father, we pray that you bless our short time in your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, many of us tend to not be interested very much in people from other countries and people from other cultures. We often, and quite naturally so, because that is where we find comfort. That is where our comfort zone is, which is that you keep to your own group of people. You keep to your own kind because it's less work, isn't it? It's less work. You don't have to try to be understood. You don't have to try to accept someone. You don't have to adjust to anything. And so it is more likely that we will behave that way than that we would not. Hallelujah. But as children of God, it is very important for us to be followers of God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." Amen. Amen. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Amen. A child of God must be a follower of God. Amen. If we are children of God, we must be followers of God. A child's heart must be towards his father. Amen. A child's heart must be towards his father. These days you have a lot of rebellious children who choose the opposite thing just because their father has chosen something else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Not even because they really believe in this or that they really know for sure that there is something in it for them. But just because their father is on that side, they choose to go a different direction. It's a spirit of rebellion.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And if you watch very carefully, you see that such people don't really turn out very well. Because what they're following is not something in particular. They're just following rebellion. They're following a difference and a departure from their father rather than following something that has substance to offer. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is the devil who sends, you know, us away from our father and makes our heart follow different things from the heart of the Father that God is. Amen. So the scripture says, as children of God, as dear children, we must be followers of God. That means we must think like God, we must follow, we must copy, we must imitate God. Hallelujah. I think another version says, be ye imitators of God. Do you have another version? Just read that. Another version, let's see what it says. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Amen. Be imitators of God as what? Beloved children. Hallelujah. So every child of God is encouraged and instructed by the scriptures to imitate God. Amen. To imitate God. Now, what is God like? Well, according to the scripture we've been reading this morning, the scripture that we're reading in so many different languages, Acts chapter 10 and 34. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and verse 35. It says, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Is accepted with him. You know, when Serena was reading, Serena read the Spanish, right?
Yeah.
And she was reading, said, acepción de personas. Do you understand? Yeah, acepción de personas. That in every nation, right? Huh? Okay, now, I'll pretend I didn't see that long word that came before. But ahora entiendo que Dios es acepción de personas. It sounds to me that somebody is accepting some person, isn't it? Yeah. You see, yeah. It says that in every nation. Now, you as a child of God must learn to accept people from different nations. Do you understand what I'm saying? To accept them, to accept means to receive the person. It means to receive the person. You don't have to fall in love with the person, but you have to accept. You have to accept. You have to learn to accept. That means to live comfortably with people who are different from you. Are you getting what I'm saying? The scripture says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. So if God's children begin to imitate God, then one of the key characteristics of a true child of God must be his ability to accept people from other nations. Are you getting what I'm saying? That he accepts people, he accepts it. You accommodate people from other nations. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
He says, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Hallelujah. So what it means is that the basis for accepting people, or so long as people, you know, in other words, we don't reject people because they come from some country. Do you understand? Yeah, we don't push people away because they come from a different country. Now, sometimes we're confused. We don't know whether we're distancing ourselves from people because of what they are doing or because they come from a certain country. But what happens is that over time, you come to find out that different people have different characteristics, and different people have different things they are commonly associated with. And so sometimes in our bid to distance ourselves from what they do, we distance ourselves from them because of where they come from. Are you getting it? And sometimes we're not sure whether you don't like Ghanaians because of what they do or because they are from Ghana. Or we don't like Nigerians because of what they do or because they are from Nigeria. Do you understand? But you can see that God is showing us that the standard has to be righteousness. Do you understand? So it's really just righteousness or unrighteousness. God doesn't accept unrighteousness from anybody. Amen. God doesn't like unrighteousness, and he does not accept it from anybody, whether they speak French or they speak Spanish or they speak English or they speak Creole or they speak whatever language. Unrighteousness is unrighteousness. But on the other hand, when those people have found righteousness, then God also expects that those people be accepted regardless of where they come from. Amen. And when you look around, you see that many people are victims of discrimination, and many people are rejected more because of where they come from than anything they have done wrong themselves. There are many good people from many different countries, but they all are rejected because there is a mass label that has been put on everybody from that place. And because of that, even the good ones suffer rejection from that. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. So we must learn to recognize righteousness in people, you know, regardless of where they come from. Amen. And learn to accept them for their righteousness. Learn to accept them for the fact that they fear God. Amen. So if you have a Christian friend who comes from whichever nation, you must learn to relate with them first because they are Christian. Do you understand? That they fear God and they practice righteousness. Do you understand? That is the basis for commonality. We all must identify righteousness in people, you know, and accept them for their righteousness instead of rejecting them for their nationality or for their culture and wherever they come from. Does it make sense to you? Are you understanding what I'm saying? God is not a respecter of persons. And so his children cannot be respecters of persons also. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. So that is the first reason. The second reason is found in the book of James. So James chapter 2. Now, In James chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Amen. It says, do not have or do not walk in the faith, do not pursue Christianity with an attitude that respects persons or selects people or discriminates against people. Hallelujah. Then when you read in verse 8, it says, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, which is, thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin." Right? So the second reason why you must not discriminate against people is because it's a sin. Can you understand that? It is a sin. I mean, flat out, sin. It's a sin. It's a sin to not like somebody because they are from country X. It's a sin to look down on someone because they come from Israel or come from Kenya or come from Nigeria or come from Ghana or come from England. It is a sin, period, because they are all children of God. Do you understand? They are all children of God. You will find out often when you meet someone who has, you know, multiple children, 2, 3, 4, you know, and you tend to like one and not like the other, the person doesn't go with you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, because for you, they are your friends and you are selecting and picking, but to the person, all of them are their children. You find people, different skin colors and so on and so forth, but we are all children of God. God doesn't prefer some to the other. God likes all his children. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. God, it's just like God to have different kinds of anything. If you look in nature, there is no one thing that you can point to and say there's only one variety of this one thing. Do you understand? Yeah. Even water. Yeah, even water, you have salt water and then you have fresh water. And it's all created by God. Do you understand? Yeah. Different kinds of water bodies, rivers, lakes, some that move, some that stay. Do you understand? There is no one thing. Think about it. Maybe you haven't thought about it deeply. There is no natural thing that God made that you can only find just one variety. Whether it's a rock, you know, or sand, you know, or mud, clay, whatever it is. Just think about it. Trees, fruits. When you call something an orange, you say, come on, if you come into the orange room, you will come and see that there are so many different varieties of oranges. Even colors. There's not only one type of blue. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying that your mind is very, very small. If you can only see one group of people and can only accept and relate with one group of people, you are so far from the broadness you find in God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. You have short trees. You have tall trees. You have different kinds of fruits. Different kinds of vitamins found in different kinds of fruits. And the same vitamin found in different kinds of fruits. You know, so many different things. It's just the way God works. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's just the way God works. And we human beings have taken on God's nature in many ways. So when we create, we also don't make only one type of thing. There's not only one type of Toyota. How many have noticed there's not only one type of Toyota? Yeah. And Toyota is only one type of car. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Then we make so many others. I mean, look at you. You don't only have blue dresses. That every dress you have is blue or red. Even those who claim to like a particular color still have to accept and have to wear other colors at other times. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it is a sin, a transgression of God's order. And that is why people who do that can never expect to experience the fullness of life that God intends for them to experience. Hallelujah. Yeah, it is very true that people who do that, you know, you can say that I will not relate with so-and-so because they are murderers or they kill and so on and so, but not because of their color. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because in every color, you find good people and you also find bad people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In every color, you find good people and you also find bad people. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. It says it is a sin. Now let's read on. It says, and ye are and are convinced of the law as transgressors. That means the law has already found you guilty as a transgressor. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Amen. He's guilty of all. He's guilty of all. He may not kill. He may not sell drugs. But he doesn't like certain people. Do you see what I'm saying? And the Bible says he's guilty of all. He's the same as a drug dealer. He's the same as a murderer. Yeah, he never took a gun to shoot anybody. That is true. You know, he went to school. He got a college degree. He got a master's degree. I mean, he lives decently, lives in a nice neighborhood, doesn't, you know, do any drugs, doesn't inject himself with anything. You know, we have a certain stereotype person that we call a proper person. But if that person doesn't like the other group, that may be guilty of all the other things I'm mentioning. The Bible says he, that person, is also guilty of all. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he explains why he's saying that. Verse 11, he says, for he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Do you see? Yeah. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Amen. That is why he says in verse 12, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the liberty of the law. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you all to know today that it is a sin to discriminate against people. It's not just a vice. Do you get it? It's not just a human vice, like it's something that's not acceptable, but you now actually cross the line. One of the sins you must confess is the sin of not liking certain people from certain countries. When God also has people over there. Amen. Then the third reason, which is the last one, the third reason why you must not discriminate against people is because heaven is a place for all nations. Heaven is a place for all nations. Amen. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Amen. Amen. thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation, God has people. God is interested in all of them. Amen.
Amen.
God is interested in all of them. And the blood of Jesus was shed, you know, to redeem people from all these places. Amen. That is why we as a church must be enlarged in our hearts and be interested in people from different nations. We must be interested in going to nations. Amen. Not just accepting nations we happen to run into, but that we will intentionally go out of our way to relate and to access people from nations. Because God is interested in them too. Amen. God is interested in them too. He says, he has redeemed, you were slain and has redeemed us to God by your blood from every kindred and every tongue. The blood of Jesus redeems every person in every place, no matter what language he speaks.
Amen.
Amen. So if anything at all, we should be learning how to speak more languages so we can communicate the message of the blood to people in those languages. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And if you can speak any language very well, you should not be shy of it. You should not be embarrassed by it, because what it means is that you have one of the tools that at least God can count on you to safely and effectively transfer the message of the gospel or the shedding of his blood to another person in that language. Because one of the most difficult things is to meet someone with whom you can't communicate. You have a lot to say. They're willing to hear you. You just can't transfer it. Have you been in that situation before?
Yeah.
You have a lot to say. They're willing to hear you. You know, once I saw someone who was lost trying to find their way and trying to ask another person for directions. And the person had stopped, ready to give them directions, except that the person cannot say where he's going. You get it? Yeah. Person cannot say where he's going. Hallelujah. So it's a blessing to be able to speak more than one language. If God has blessed you to be multilingual, you must not be embarrassed by it. You must not be ashamed of it. Rather, develop it. Amen.
Amen.
Develop it and have only one thing in mind, that you want to develop this language so you can transmit the message of the gospel. Because he was slain to redeem people by his blood out of every nation. God is expecting that when we get to heaven, there will be people from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, no matter what language they speak, God is expecting a representation in heaven. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God is expecting people from every place. So start liking people. Because if we don't get along here, we'll be surprised to meet in heaven. You see yourself surrounded by all the people you don't like. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Learn to see people for what they are. Learn to accept people if they practice righteousness. Accept them. Accept them. And once they fear God, they practice righteousness. God accepts them. So why can't the child of God also accept them? Let's be true followers of God as dear children, and let's accept people, and you will begin to see that our lives will be enriched. Amen. If you watch carefully and look carefully around the world, you will see that each part of the world seems to have something they are known to contribute. And each part of the world is good at something. Each part of the world is rich with something. Do you understand? That's why we can't stop international trade. You see, so the fact that we would trade internationally and yet discriminate against people just shows how hypocritical. Because on one hand, we accept that we cannot live without each other. And on the other hand, we pretend that we really can live without each other. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. I was surprised to find out that most of the stuff that goes into making these devices actually comes from Congo. Yeah. Can you imagine that today there are as many cell phones in the world as there are people? So you can imagine our dependence on them. But we have to pretend that we don't need them. We have to pretend they are not important. Do you understand? We have to pretend they are not important. We have to pretend we don't need them. Around these parts, everybody likes gold. Everybody likes diamonds. Especially around these parts. But we don't have gold mines here. The gold mines are in other places. But we pretend we don't need the people who are in those places where the gold is found. Yeah. Actually, the people in those places don't have much need or use for the gold. That's why they give it all up. Yeah. So it means most of the gold is used by the people around here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is no nation that is rejected. God doesn't look down on any nation. God doesn't look down on any people. And we must not look down on people either. Have a broad heart as a child of God. Amen. And be imitators of God as his dear children. Amen. Amen. Copy God. Tell somebody, copy God. Copy God. Copy God. Amen. Copy God. And learn how to be relating with people. Learn, acquire an interest in people from other places. And it will take some work. Do you see what I'm saying? It will take some work. There are some of us who feel very superior and we feel that others must adjust to us. Amen. Yeah. We assess people by their ability to speak our language. And if they speak our language or speak it very well, we look down on them. What about you? Can you speak their language? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. You can't speak their language and you don't think that you owe an apology for that. But you feel like they owe you an apology for not being able to speak your language. It's all double standards by humans and it's unrighteous and it's a sin. It's a sin. Amen. It says, thou committest sin. You commit sin. Hallelujah. So let us open our hearts, amen, and be people who love people from other nations, and God is going to bless us. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to enjoy the world, you must develop a love for nations. Amen. Amen. If you really want to have a full life, amen, enjoy the nations. Amen. Those of you who like to travel to places and so on for vacation, start traveling out of the country. Go to some place. Do you understand? Eat something different. Do you get it? See something different. You see that other people also exist and have a perfectly full and happy life, and there are no French fries in it. Do you get it? That you can live a perfectly full life without a pizza. That the word Domino's is not a vitamin.
McDonald's.
Do you understand?
I
Yeah, that it's a word that means something only here. But there are other places where people live without dominoes. Do you get it? And they are probably even healthier. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe if you can acquire a taste for some new things, you might save yourself from an early death. Yeah, if your mind can be a little more open, if you can accept, because you know, whether you can accept it or not, it is that way. The world will always have more people than people from your country or your nation. So it's a favor you're doing yourself, not a favor you're doing God or anyone. Because it will be that way. It was that way before you got here. It will always be that way even after you're gone. So it's really about your little time that you're spending here. And God wants you to have the richest life you can possibly live in that short time you're spending here. Because you're not going to change anything. You're not going to change anything. It's going to be like that. God made it that way. Hallelujah. If you can have all the different colors in your closet, I don't know why you want to stop God from having different colors. God also wants to be able to look out of his window and see different colors of people and say, these are all my children. He wants to see some people with red hair, some people with black hair, some people with different kinds of hair, you know. And God says, which one is that? Which one is that? God is just enjoying us. Yeah. So you can't restrict and limit God to just one type, one look. One presentation. Amen. You have to learn. It's a problem with us. We have that problem. It's a problem with us. We have to pray that God will help us broaden our minds. It is part of the reason why we're not interested in spreading the gospel in other nations, because we don't see them much as people. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But perhaps some of them will even accept our gospel more readily than our own people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So in this church, we are lovers of nations. Believers in nations. We like people from other places. Hallelujah. And if you are from another place and everybody is from some place, we want you to know you are very welcome in this place. The one we don't like very much is the one whose behavior drives away other people from other nations. But rather, we want everybody to be a lover of people regardless of where they come from. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we must consciously admit and accommodate. Can I have an amen? Tell somebody I will. Say, I'll make other people comfortable. Amen. You must go out of your way. Hallelujah. You must go out of your way to make other people comfortable. And the way to do it is just to say you will make other people comfortable instead of expecting others to make you comfortable. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we also have all kinds of people who come to church and who say that they are not made comfortable, but they don't think about how they could have made others also comfortable. Are you getting what I'm saying? All of us have that responsibility. And we will do it by the grace of God. Say amen. Amen. Close your eyes with me, everybody, and begin to pray and ask God. Tell God, I am a child of God. I want to be an imitator of God. I want to be a follower of God. I want to be one who copies God. I want to be an imitator of God as a dear child. I want to love people from different places. I want to open my heart to people from different places, different nations, different tribes, different people from different places. Because it's a sin. Confess that sin. Some of us have looked down on some people because of where they come from. You need to confess that sin. Confess that sin and say, Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry for looking down on people that you have accepted, people that you like and love, for not respecting what you have respected, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everybody just pray. All of us are guilty of this, and say, Lord, forgive us. Let your blood wash us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You loved the world, Lord, and gave your Son for the world. How can we make the Son only accessible to a few people in our small world? Forgive us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be lovers of the nations in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service this afternoon, maybe you're here and you know in your heart that you're not born again, that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to give my life to you. Maybe you're watching us on the internet, but you know in your heart that you're not born again. Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You are not saved. Today, if you died, you don't know if you go to heaven or not. You want to be sure about that. So if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior today, I want you, while every eye is closed, to just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Everybody just close your eyes and just pray for yourself and say, Lord, help me to be a lover of nations and a lover of people. Give me the opportunity to meet people from different places, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just pray. But those of you who want to give your life to Jesus, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Is there anyone here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving your life for my sake. Say, I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to live for you, Jesus. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. Say, Lord Jesus, only you can forgive my sins. So let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. I want to be a child of God. I want to live for you, Jesus. Wash me and cleanse me and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Now let's come to the Lord's table. Thank you, Jesus.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. And drink, this is my blood, which was poured out for you. Oh, this is the holy meal that came down from heaven. It will sustain you, it will heal you, it will give you life. The cup of blessing that we bless is the communion of the body of Christ. And this bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, so my blood, you will have new life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood, I will pass over you. The cup of blessing that we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. And this bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. So break my bread and drink my blood, you will have new life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Hallelujah. Does everyone have one? Everyone has a communion? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Amen. Now, I want you to just take this. Now, one of the things about communion is to understand that it represents the body of the Lord. Amen. Now, the Bible says God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? So God has a reason why in his body there are so many different parts to it. Amen. Now it says, but now are they many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant uncomeliness. Then it says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Amen. Amen. Well, what the Bible is showing us is that God creates a body and gives the body so many different parts. And there is no member of the body who can say, I don't need you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And if you see or observe how your body works, that is the way God has designed the world to work. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the way God has designed the world. And he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Imagine if your eye was to tell your hand this afternoon, I don't need you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, just imagine the opposite, that your hand will say to your eye, I don't need you. Can you imagine it if your hand will say to the eye, I don't need you? And yet the eye and the hand look so different. You see, we look so different, and yet we are so heavily dependent on each other. So maybe if you would think of your life as lacking the same, in the same way that your hand would lack without the eye, then probably you sort of begin to appreciate what you're missing, keeping certain people out of your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your hand can do some things, but frankly, your hand cannot do much. Or most of the things the hand can do don't make sense if the eye cannot see. Is it not true?
Yeah.
So the hand is strong, it's flexible. It can. These are all things the eye cannot do, you know. It can't flex, it can't pick up things. The eye cannot pick up anything. But the hand cannot also pick up anything if the eye doesn't show it.
Wow. Preaching. Wow.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're not as self-sufficient as you probably think. We need each other. We need other people from other nations. We need other people from other places. We really need them. It's not just fancy or desirable. You actually need it. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread." Verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body," not understanding how the body works. Is how you bring damnation to yourself. Hallelujah. That is why God wants us to partake of communion today with an understanding that the body doesn't function just by one part working well. Sometimes the whole body is shut down. You can't even go to work because one part of the body is not working properly. There's just one part that's not cooperating. It's Monday. All the other parts know where they're supposed to be. They know what they're supposed to be doing. But this one part is refusing to recognize it's Monday. Yeah. Sometimes the whole body is late to work because the eye won't open when it should have opened. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. The eye was supposed to open at a certain time. And it just won't open. You get it? The rest of the body was ready to go. The feet was ready to walk. And so, but the eye, what they said is 5:30. The eye said 5:30 for you. You can go if you want. I'm not going. Yeah. The eye wouldn't open till 7. Yeah. So by the time the eye eventually is pacified and opens itself at 7, you know, the mind now thinks there's no point. Yes. The eye says we can go now. The mind says I'm not going. I'm just not going. So you see, for the whole body to arrive anywhere, you need cooperation from so many different parts. It's a mighty miracle. Yes. And if you were to think of your life that way and start asking yourself, what are you missing by keeping who out of your life? Are you understanding what I'm saying? That your narrow-mindedness and being racist and being tribalistic and not liking people because they come from a certain place is probably costing you much more than you think. Maybe for you, these are the people that God has brought into your life. And rejecting them is rejecting God's help. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because not everybody has big and bold eyes. You have to accept the eyes you got. Otherwise, you won't see. If you insist that your eyes be bold before you accept them, well, then you be there. Some are blessed with nice, bold, and clear eyes. But you see some people, their eyes, you can barely see the eye itself. And you're surprised that that eye can actually see you. But that's what they've got. That's what they've got. And you have to accept those eyes. That's the eye God put on your face. So same way. Maybe you look left and you look right. And the people that God brought into your life for best friends, they come from Africa. That's like being given small eyes. So Africa, they are Ghanaians. They are from Kenya. They are from Nigeria. No, then I cannot accept them. Well, if you can't accept them, then you're going to be blind. You can't see. But I tell you, when people accept their small eyes, they can see. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes you see some people, their eyes are like that. Yeah. You see, I was trying not to mention your name, but I realized I'm not the only person who can see that. I was trying not to say, yeah. I'm glad somebody else could see it, yes. Hardly any eyes on her face, but she has to accept those eyes so she can see something. Yes. Hallelujah. Today's communion is about accepting people. Accepting people that we need. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, today I'm taking communion, and by taking communion, eating this communion, I'm accepting you as a necessary part of my life. Make sure you tell somebody, by all means, just say, I'm accepting you as a vital part of my life. I need you and you need me. Even though we may not come from the same country, we may belong to different places, I need you. I may not understand your language, but I still need you. Yeah, I need you. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for being so many, yet being one body in Christ. And like the scripture says, the body has so many different parts, but we all are one body in you. And today I pray, Lord, against the spirit that causes division.
Amen.
That breaks our unity and fights against it. And keeps us conscious of our differences rather than the reasons why we must unite and be together. We curse that spirit in the name of Jesus. We curse that spirit in Jesus' name. We bind that spirit and throw him out of this church in the name of Jesus. The spirit that looks down on people from other places, people who speak different languages, people who dress differently, the spirit that fights and tries to give us always a reason to not belong, we bind that voice in the name of Jesus. The voice that continues to speak to us, to minister to us, to remind us always of what makes us different from another person. The voice that constantly rehearses in our ears that you are different, you are not accepted, you don't belong. That voice we curse and silence in the name of Jesus. Because today we realize that voice is not your voice. Your voice is a voice of unity. Your voice is a voice that brings us all together. Your voice is a voice that brings many nations together as one people. Thank you for placing us in such a church family. In the name of Jesus. We eat this bread today, discerning the body, understanding the body, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. And you may eat. Now take the cup with me. This is the blood of Jesus. See, blood is for relationship. Blood makes a connection. Blood is what makes me related to you. Blood is what makes me connected to you. Hallelujah. And so as we take this communion today, just let it mean what it means, which is that we are all together and connected by blood. We are all washed by the same blood. And we are all saved by the same blood. And this blood makes me your brother, makes me your brother, and makes you my sister, regardless of where you come from. Even though we don't have the same last name, even though we may not look the same, we don't speak the same language, yet we are a miracle because you're still my sister in Christ Jesus. That I can count on you, I can trust you, I can look up to you like I would a real sister or a brother. Hallelujah. Amen. This blood makes me related to you, Serena. This blood makes me your brother in a real way. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the blood. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are grateful to you for this wonderful afternoon, and thank you for the blessedness of an encounter with the blood of Jesus. The blood that washes away sin. Lord, let this blood wash away our sins of discrimination, especially. May that sin be no more found among us in the name of Jesus. The sin of looking down on others, the sin of not accepting certain people, not accepting certain parts of your body, Lord, let that sin not be found among us, Lord, but let it be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. From today, we declare that we will walk in the fullness of life that you have provided for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We will walk in the fullness of life you have given us by relating with and accepting all the people that you have brought into our lives. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for bringing so many people from so many different countries together in this church. So many people from so many different places. Lord, we pray that no one will feel left out, that everyone will understand that they belong, that this indeed is their family, this indeed is their home, and they can expect a full and complete life right here in your house, because you are not a respecter of persons, that you are not a God who respects persons, that in every place, in every church, in every community, people who fear God and who practice righteousness are accepted by you, Lord. We are your children, and we want to be imitators of God. Help us, O God, to imitate you, to copy you in this particular thing, that we will be interested in the nations. That when we have a chance to preach the gospel in nations, we'll be interested. That when Healing Jesus Crusade is going to the nations, we will follow it keenly, keenly, oh God. Because we are interested in the nations as children of God. As followers of God, we are interested in the nations. We thank you, oh God, for broadening our minds. Thank you for giving us a broad mind. Thank you for broadening our hearts, enlarging our hearts, Lord, to accommodate more people, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for touching our taste buds and giving us a taste for new foods and new things we've never even known to eat, Lord. In the name of Jesus, We're grateful to you for such a blessing. And thank you for International Day. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you give us more nations. Grant us to have more nations in this church. Give us a longer and further reach, O God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, O God, that you will send more people, O God, into our midst from more nations, a wider variety of nations, Lord, in the name of Jesus. May we grow in this area, Lord. May we grow in this area, Lord. May we grow and be enlarged in this area. In the name of Jesus, make us a church of the nations. Make us a church of the nations. Let heaven be represented here in this congregation. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you go around and tell somebody, I belong to you and you belong to me.